a lot of them will, I mean, it depends how you define it, right? A lot of them will think alternative unit of measures just means unit measure conversions.
No.
Well, I know it's not, but that's how some people will, other ERPs will perceive that.
Yeah, there are always layers.
Growing a business requires a holistic approach that extends beyond sales and marketing. This approach needs alignment among people, processes, and technologies. So if you're a business owner, operations, or finance leader looking to learn growth strategies from your peers and competitors, you're tuned into the right podcast. Welcome to the WBS Podcast, where scalable growth using business systems is our number one priority. Now, here is your host, Sam Gupta.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the WBS Podcast. I'm Sam Gupta, your host and principal consultant at the independent ERP and digital transformation consulting firm, Elevate IQ. ERP systems have come a long way with their cloud-native capabilities. Even the legacy ERP systems are trying to be as close as possible to cloud-native systems. The WMS space has been trying to catch up with cloud-native capabilities with a very limited number of options available in the market. The process manufacturing and F&B space is even trickier, and WMS capabilities for this space requires additional layers that may not be available with other WMS systems designed for grocery for discrete manufacturing. MOV3 is one WMS system that is cloud-native and natively designed for iOS devices. So where does MOV3 stand in its capabilities, and how does it compare with other supply chain solutions in the market? In today's episode, we invited a panel of industry experts for a live discussion on LinkedIn to conduct an independent review of MOV3 WMS capabilities. We covered many grounds, including the pros and cons of using an iOS native WMS system. Finally, we compared them with other supply chain solutions across various layers that generally drive selection process of these systems. With that, let's get to the conversation. Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's show. If you are joining for the first time, this is part of our industry series for which we meet every Tuesday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern. We review one vendor or the solution. And today, we have a solution called MOV3. So we are going to have a lot of fun discussing that. Before we do that, we are going to start with everybody's intros. I am going to start with my quick intro, Sam Gupta, principal at Elevate IQ. Elevate IQ is the independent ERP and digital transformation consulting firm. On that note, I am going to move to my friend, Andy, for his intro.
Well, thank you for inviting me, Sam. My name is Andy Pratico. I've been involved in ERP software for manufacturers all my life. I've worked all over North America, and I have a published book on helping people uncover the truth about ERP software before they buy. So thank you so much.
Okay, amazing. Thank you so much for being here, Andy. And now we'll start with the quick briefing, Andy, as we do, for most of these solutions. And this is part of our WMS portfolio, I guess. MOV3 is a very small WMS solution. So we'll touch on all of the layers. I don't know if you have come across them. We'll discuss your experiences with them, I guess. And then we'll start on the slides. So overall, I guess, when we look at the supply chain suites, WMS, TMS, so in this particular case, this is not a suite. This is going to be a standalone WMS solution, and they have a little...
I have a suggestion for you, Sam.
Yeah.
You know, so many companies, when they're evaluating systems, think that an inventory control system or material planning system of some kind is WMS. Maybe you might want to start by describing what WMS is from a high level as opposed to inventory control.
Yes, and great point, by the way. And yes, there is confusion around that. And when we look at WMS, I guess there could be many different layers. But overall, I guess the function where you sort of draw the line between what needs to reside inside in your ERP versus WMS. WMS generally, at least that's a perception that the community has, is it is going to have the location intelligence versus the actual accounting of the inventory. Actual accounting of the inventory has to be inside your ERP. Now, sometimes there could be one-to-one correlation between these two. Sometimes it may not be. Meaning, sometimes you are going to have more granularity in the locations inside WMS, and that intelligence may not be there inside ERP because ERP might not care for all of that. For example, where do you keep your bins, license plate? Sometimes even allocation could be a very tricky topic. You know, if you look at this more from the enterprise architecture lenses, then obviously you need to have just one place where you are keeping this so that, you know, it's going to be slightly more organized. But overall, I guess, you know, if you look at how community defines the WMS versus ERP, is going to be, okay, location-centric intelligence, the barcoding, you know, any sort of physical interaction, hardware interaction, all of that resides inside your WMS, WCS, WES. All of these three buckets are going to be part of the same portfolio. The accounting aspect resides inside the ERP. I don't know, Andy, if that answers your question.
I think so. I mean, yeah. You know, basically, as far as inventory control, there's no question most ERP systems do have that functionality.
Yeah.
Most will handle multi-location or multi-warehouse,
yeah.
You know, inventory control. But when you're getting into things like, more detailed functionality regarding locations, regarding shipping, yep. regarding all that, it becomes part of WMS. Correct.
You are right. You are right. And we have a comment here from the guest. Ashish, thank you so much for joining. And if you don't follow Ashish, follow him. It's A-S-H-I-S-H-P-A-R-U-L-E-K-A-R. And I hope I didn't mess that up. I mean, it's a long spelling. So follow him on LinkedIn. He is asking also WMS and how it integrates with MHE and ERP WTC. MHE and Ashish, maybe you want to provide what that acronym stands for?
But you can certainly describe how WMS integrates with ERP and kind of what you've been doing the last 5 minutes.
Yeah. I think MHE is going to be more, maybe he's referring to those ASRS, AGV systems, I guess. Or maybe MES, I don't know. I mean, MHE, I don't know what that stands for, Andy, if you know.
I don't, but I'll look it up while we're chatting.
Oh, material handling equipment. Yeah, that's what he meant. Okay.
Oh, equipment. Him. Okay, gotcha.
Sure. Yeah, so definitely ASRS, AGV so is what MES. He's referring to. Yeah. No, it's not MES, Andy. It's ESRS or AGV systems. Okay. That's what he's talking about. So material handling, anything that happens inside your warehouse. MES would reside inside your shop floor. There could be a little distinction between shop floor versus your warehouses, I guess. So he's referring to ASRS systems, any of the AGVs, anything that touches your material is what he's referring to. All right. So let's go back to our discussion, I guess. So in terms of the layers, so MOV3 is a very, 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 very small, WMS system. It's probably going to be relevant for companies when they are outgrowing the WMS systems that come part of your ERP. Sometimes they are going to be there, sometimes they are not going to be there. The way this particular WMS system started, and in that also there are many different layers, right? So since WMS is very tightly coupled with the hardware, and that's why traditionally ERP systems did not contain the functionality related to WMS, because you are going to have many different devices. Sometimes you have Android interface, sometimes you have iOS interface, and the interface that you have is very different as well. And you need to design for all of those interfaces, otherwise it's not going to work. That's why the WMS functionality always was different. Traditionally, ERP systems did not produce. They relied on either partners or some sort of WMS vendors to provide this functionality. So MOV3 has a very interesting positioning in the market. Number one, they are iOS native, and we are going to discuss the pros and cons of all of that. So number one, you are going to get very native experience inside iOS because they are really born there, but you are sort of tight coupling yourself with your iOS devices. So that could be a challenge as well. And as long as you can, and that's not a big deal in general, as long as you can replace all of your devices' hardware to iOS, shouldn't be a big deal in general, but you are definitely tight, coupling yourself with that. So that's number one layer. Number two layer is the other WMS systems that we have reviewed. Sometimes it could be the whole suite. In this particular case, you are only looking at the WMS functionality, not TMS, not SNMP, etc. What else do we cover as part of this layer? I guess, in terms of WMS, you have 3PL versus the retail sort of manufacturer value chain, I guess, and we touch that layer as well. So in this particular case, they are very well penetrated into this whole process and batch manufacturing, batch distribution space. And in that, there could be many different layers that are going to be applicable. So even in the case of WMS, it matters a lot, okay? So when you are using a WMS system inside your chemical industry, batch industry, process industry, food and beverage industries, okay? There are unique pieces of functionality. If you're going to get a vanilla WMS, that's probably not going to work for those industries. So that's where these guys have very, very, very unique layers for those industries. And that's why they are probably successful, really successful in those industries. Andy, do we cover any other layers, I guess?
I think we'll learn a little bit about this specific product in a moment. But, like you mentioned, WMS is going to be including functionality like license plating, but it's also directed put away. So, again, yep. Locations within and intelligent locations within the warehouse themselves.
Yeah, exactly. Could not agree more. Great point, Andy. Just one final layer, I guess, that I always like to touch is, and I vaguely test, but I don't know how clear I was, so I'll mention that. Overall, in terms of the SMB versus enterprises, again, this is a very, very, very small solution. It's designed for very small companies. It's not supposed to be your enterprise solution. So again, it's probably going to be, very small companies. It's not even mid-market, upper mid-market solution.
Which ERPs does it link with, Sam?
I have seen in the NetSuite ecosystem, I guess. I think they are present in, so very mid-market centric WMS, yes.
Okay.
Okay. So we'll start on the slides and we'll be touching some more layers, I guess, as we go through the slides. So here, this is coming from 2029, and we always go back to the history of where they are coming from. We are always tracking these PR releases in terms of what has been their journey evolution. So we track all of that as part of these sessions. So here, and they have a little correlation with Infor-ND. So this is the company, and this is the recent company, I guess, because traditionally what they were doing is these guys are sort of the publisher of that process manufacturing pack, with Infor. So they sold that process manufacturing pack to Infor before they were born as WMS solution. So it's a fairly, fairly new.
Is that right? Isn't that a small world?
Solution in the market. Yes. So, so this is coming from 2019. The company was originally focused on process manufacturing and warehouse software for food and chemical manufacturing prior to selling that business to Infor in 2017. And I don't know what was the driver, to be completely honest, whether it was driven from Infor, because obviously they were trying to, grab a lot of different add-ons so that they can sell a complete solution. I don't know whether it was pushed by Infor or they really wanted to focus on WMS. I don't know what was the rationale there, but that's the business they were in. But after that, they moved to WMS, native WMS, focused on mobility, I guess. And in the WMS community, I guess, and I don't know, the driver maybe because in the WMS community, a lot of these solutions are trying to go for cloud native experience. Okay. So the same moment that is happening with your ERP community as of today, I would say ERP community is slightly more advanced overall in their cloud nativeness. WMS, TMS solutions, they are slightly behind. And this is one of the cloud native solutions in the market. If you look for in the SMB space, you're not going to find very many solutions that are really cloud native, to be completely honest, in the WMS community. And that could be one of the drivers why they really wanted to get into this business, after selling that, process add-on. But since they come from very process and chemical centric background, you will see this reflected in their WMS solution as well, just because of their background. So now let's go to the next one, I guess. So here, this is also a very similar announcement. So here they are saying has sold the intellectual property rights for its integrated process manufacturing software to Infor. And this is part of the Infor CSI solution, which is Cloud Suite Industrial. Developed in 2014, the solution is in wide use among Infor's enterprise customers in highly regulated industries, including chemical and food manufacturing. I don't know how much the process manufacturing add-on is used from the Infor's perspective. My understanding was that the process pack was not very successful overall, you know, from the Infor CSI perspective, but it does seem, at least from this announcement, that it was used in some of the enterprise accounts. And then they are claiming that the module was developed in Infor's Mongoose framework to work seamlessly with the Infor Cloud Suite Industrial ERP.
Yeah, I'm familiar with a couple of companies that are implementing that module currently, actually.
But this is the announcement, I guess, you know, I don't know, most likely this is probably going to be in 2019, 20 somewhere, I guess. And they are claiming that, you know, it was already used. So some companies might be implementing today, but it was
used. I think back in those days, it was it had presence in Europe, but I'm not sure if it had a lot of presence in North America yet.
That could be a possibility. Obviously, this company is from the U.S. So my assumption would be that they probably had, you know, U.S.-based accounts. but maybe Europe. I don't know. All right. So here, the software makes it easy to manage, you know, formulas, schedule, build batches based on flexible manufacturing specifications and monitor and respond to evolving regulatory requirements. Now, they have some more commentary here overall, their own alignment in terms of where they came from. So they are saying this IP sale aligns with EBS current focus on evolving their latest cloud-based enterprise warehouse management software. They are saying cloud-based enterprise. I don't know why they have used enterprise term there. They probably should not be using that because this is a very small solution, to be completely honest, but they are calling it enterprise. Okay, we'll take it, I guess. So this is mostly WMS and supporting their other proprietary products such as O2 process manufacturing, O2 mobile warehouse. Through the acquisition of process industry pack, Infor now owns all of the intellectual property rights for Infor Cloud Suite process manufacturing. The transaction will cause no disruption or changes for Infor Cloud Suite process manufacturing customers, and Infor will continue to manage the product's evolution. So obviously now Infor manages that. So, but yeah, it does seem like that they really wanted to focus on the WMS solution because the cloud was the theme there.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay, so some more commentary coming from their PR releases, I guess. So here they are talking about EVSS iOS native Move 3 Cloud WMS has rethought the warehouse management experience. iOS native is a critical factor for them. I don't know how many solutions are there in the market that are going to be iOS native. The native experience does help a little bit in the case of warehouse. Efficiency is everything, to be completely honest, okay? So even if you are going to have minor improvement because of the native interface, that could be a decent deal, I would say. But again, you are sort of limiting, but at the same time, you are getting the native interface. So I don't know how to rate this, but something to keep in mind. Move3 is a WMS platform that integrates enterprise applications as well as models operations with flexible rules for put away, picking, packing, shipping, directing employees to do the right actions at the right time. Okay, a little bit of sales pitch there, I guess. Then,
did you say a little bit of a sales pitch?
Yeah. I mean, fluff. you know,
I'm being polite. Isn't everything a little bit of a sales pitch?
Yeah. Trying to read between the lines, Andy, as you know.
I think that we're going to learn a little bit more when we get into the screenshots and such.
Yeah. So here, I think one thing I wanted to touch is they are talking about each pick. So here they are saying Move3 WMS warehouse optimization can help manufacturers. And they have used the term manufacturers. Okay, so I don't know if they actively target manufacturers. That could be a possibility. So my take on this is going to be, just because they are coming from that process manufacturing background, so they must be targeting manufacturers a lot. And there are layers between your manufacturing operations versus your distributor operations. The WMS functionality could differ a lot. So I think they are really targeting those process manufacturers, which would be very similar to, if I remember correctly, Elemica, which was, I guess, a TMS system. I don't know if they position themselves as WMS, but they had very similar positioning because they were targeting process manufacturing space as well. So they are saying make each pick fulfillment profitable. And again, there is not much there that I can touch on. Yes, the efficiency matters a lot in the case of WMS. Okay, so this is the feature list, and there are some unique features, and that's why I feel that the process manufacturing space is very, very, very interesting. So some things that I have highlighted here are going to be lot attributes, bin attributes. There's still a lot of features for process manufacturing industries. You have alternate unit of measures. So lot tracking, lot attributes, bin attributes. I don't know how many different WMS systems are going to have that. You know, even ERP systems might not have that. Some of them, depending upon which industry.
What do you think bin attributes means? Like other critical requirements about the bin? Or
so, Andy, I'm pretty sure you probably know the attributes at the item level, right? Do you or do you not?
Yeah,
so attributes
course.
Are going to be, you know, width, length, height, whatever. But then the second layer is that, do you have those attributes supported at the lot level? Okay. In these industries, you need that. You need that in chemical, plastics, extrusion, medical device, probably you need that. Okay. So that is going to be so one layer is your item. The second layer underneath that is going to be your lot. But lot numbers alone are not enough. You need to have attributes at the lot level when you are going to be in these industries.
You mean like heat numbers or in this case, it would probably be shelf life or any of those types of things?
The question is going to be, Andy, whether you are tracking these variables at the lot level or are you tracking at the item level? If you are tracking heat number at the lot level, then you need lot attributes.
Right.
So that's where the distinction is.
Okay.
Yeah. So a lot of ERP systems don't have at the lot level. They are going to have at the item level. Now, why is bin attributes important? Bin attributes are going to be important when you are getting into those dynamic slotting scenario. Okay. So when you have to allocate the item to a specific location, but then your attributes are going to be your relevant as well. So when you are issuing and receiving the lots, sometimes you need to issue and receive at the attribute level, which is going to be your heat number, because that's going to be further segmentation from the lot perspective that you need to keep in mind. And that's why your bin attributes are going to be super critical as well. Some ERP systems don't even have bins. Now, here we are talking about bin attributes. So things get very deep, I guess, in these industries. And that's why the chemical industry, the process industry is very, 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 very unique. And that's even the WMS functionality is going to be very unique in these industries as well. They have some more layers that I don't think I have seen with the other WMS ERP systems, at least the ones that we have reviewed so far, I guess. You have item preferred bin. You have item preferred zone. You have alternate units of measure, and that is going to be very applicable in the case of your formulas because you need to change that, right? Andy knows it, I guess. And I don't think a lot of ERP systems even support that unless the ERP system is really designed for process manufacturing.
A lot of them will. I mean, it depends how you define it, right? A lot of them will think alternative unit of measures just means unit measure conversions.
No.
Well, I know it's not, but that's how some people will, other ERPs will perceive that.
Yeah. There are always layers, and this is definitely very different. I mean, this is going to be at the formula translation conversion level. When you have to convert the formula, that's where you are sort of defining, okay, what is, and this is not going to be the same unit of measure that you, some ERP systems are going to have the purchase unit of measure, sales unit of measure, consumption unit of measure, but that's not enough.
Stocking unit measure.
Here you are literally defining the rules. And I think we have some documentation for that as well. So again, very, very, very unique industry. The batches are unique as well. So very interesting pieces of functionality.
So now, I'm assuming that with their history of the process module they sold to Infor, that this WMS is very process centric as well.
Exactly. That's how I'm reading based on the functionality, on their commentary, based on where I've seen them. They are definitely very, involved in the process space. So we have one comment from the audience. So Anders, thank you so much for joining. Anders Green, follow him if you don't. AndersGreen. He is saying re-bin attributes. Perhaps it could be bin, weight, size limits, whether they are suitable for cold storage, sterile conditions, and then liquid versus solid, static, safe for electronics. So this is going to be, Anders, you are fairly close. But the way slotting works, I guess, in the warehouse, and if you speak to any warehouse consultant, at least the seasoned ones, one of the things that they are going to do is they are going to recommend slotting inside the warehouse. And these are definitely going to be some of the variables. Some variables are driven by the safety, where you want to keep some of the items in the warehouse, because when you are going to have warehouse workers, and if you don't define where people can put these things, they are going to put wherever. And sometimes that could be all over the place. These things are going to be falling on people's head. You don't want that. Okay, so that's why slotting is really important. Many different variables are going to be in play for slotting. So that's where your bin attributes are going to be super handy. They both work in conjunction when you look at bin attributes, lot attributes, or item attributes, bin attributes combination. They work in conjunction to implement slotting. Okay, so here some more interesting pieces of functionality. So you have multiple items on a pallet. That's a bit, I don't know why they have spelled it out.
Well, it's part of license plating, right?
This is the pallet. So,
yeah.
So pallet would have multiple items anyways. So I don't know if there are any layers in that feature. I don't know. I mean, maybe there is something in some of these industries, which probably I don't know. but this is a very, very, very interesting piece of functionality. This is not license plate, Andy. License plate is, I have not seen license plate anywhere in their description of the functionality. This is a real pallet. Oh. But they are saying multiple lots in serials. This is also going to be the pallet. So this is mentioned, inside the pallet tracking. So that's very interesting as well. Maybe in some industries you can have just one lot per pallet, which is, I don't know. But this is very interesting.
Usually pallet tracking is what license plating is.
So license plating, in my mind,
Andy, pallet of product, right? No matter what the product is.
Exactly. I think you are right. License plating, in my mind, license plate can be assigned to anything. It could be assigned to a pallet, or it could be also assigned to a truck, depending upon what. So license plate is slightly more loose affiliation of where you want to assign that to. Pallet is a very fixed physical object, that is designed for inside your warehouse, I guess. So they are defining it as more of the pallet tracking, but I mean, people sort of correlate, I guess, or relate with the pallets, and that's why they may have mentioned that. I don't know if this is license plate or not, but in my mind, license plate is a very loose correlation. A license plate is literally a license plate that you can put anywhere, whatever you want to track, I guess. The way license plate would work in the real world, I guess. Obviously the multiple lots and serials is a very interesting piece of functionality. My understanding would be that, pallets are going to have the hybrid composition of different products, lots, serials. So, in some industries that could be probably tricky, and that's why they have mentioned that. Now, issuing pallet to a work order could be very interesting piece of functionality. In my mind, that is slightly more advanced. And you are right, Andy, and this could be perceived as more of the license plate. When you are assigning or releasing the whole license plate to a work order than issuing individual items. So technically it is that, but again, they have not spelled it out that way. Then they are saying receive finished goods onto pallet, which is very similar functionality as the previous one. Then they are saying issue pallet to pick list, again, very similar pallet attributes. Okay, so now pallet attributes is very interesting as well. So they have attributes pretty much everywhere. Again, because of the industry they are in, they have to have attributes everywhere. I think that's pretty much it. Yeah. Then they are saying assigned control numbers. Control numbers is very interesting piece of functionality as well. And I don't know, Andy, if you have seen control numbers to be slightly different. And we have tried to actually dig into that, you know, and I think this is the comment coming from Google. I was not familiar with the control number term. It could be perceived as more of the lot number, but I mean, control number term is something that I have personally not seen before. So that's very unique. And I try to find, okay, what the hell is this control number? Is somebody using that term? So on Google, they have described the control numbers in a warehouse refer to unique identifiers assigned to items or batches of products to facilitate efficient tracking management, blah, blah, blah. These numbers are crucial. Okay. Examples of control numbers can include barcodes, QR codes, serial numbers, lot numbers, or any other. So I don't know if this is more of the grouping of everything.
I think the next sentence defines it. It's any other unique identifier.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, so it doesn't really have a meaning, I guess. It's more of the broader classification, I guess, yeah. You know, for everything that that we know. But for some reason, they have mentioned that, I guess. On the fly, ad hoc control numbers. I don't know how to read that. Andy, if you have any sort of insights there.
On the fly, ad hoc control numbers. Well,
meaning
sometimes companies want to define the lot number or the serial number after the fact. So that could be thought of as being ad hoc, but I'm not sure.
Yeah. I don't know if that is related to numbering scheme or the numbers themselves. Some companies might have pre-assigned lot numbers, pre-assigned serial numbers. That is always given, but for the most part, they are going to be assigned in general after you have either produced or when you are about to receive. That's when you sort of assign. So yeah, it's just an interesting piece of functionality that I don't think I've seen anywhere. So that's very interesting.
Sentence on the bottom right hand corner, it says something directly to Sage 500. That's an interesting comment.
Yeah, so I think we are going to have more commentary in the slides that we are going to review. They are definitely in Sage 500 space.
Do you know what year this was mentioned or posted?
So this is coming from their, as far as my recollection is, this is coming from their feature sheet that they have. So this is not the date.
Current.
Yeah. So I don't know when they have, published this. So this is the data sheet that they have. Yeah. Okay. So now some other pieces of functionality that I want to touch on, which is going to be your vendor performance and cross-talking. Cross-talking in general is a slightly more advanced functionality for warehouse management systems, I guess. Vendor performance, whether you would keep that inside WMS or not, don't ask me that. I don't think that's right. Vendor performance should probably reside inside ERP, but these guys seem to be doing this here. And my guess is going to be that the companies that might be using this WMS might be on QuickBooks, and you know, they sometimes treat WMS as their ERP, so they need to keep a lot of functionality that would traditionally belong inside ERP, and they are trying to do a lot more, I guess. That's why they have to do this. But I mean, for the most part, architecturally speaking, from the cleanliness of the architecture perspective, the vendor performance should reside inside your ERP. Okay, so now we have some more commentary here. So MOV 3 true expertise lies in managing inventory for regulated industries with specialized needs, and they have spelled it out. That is right as well. That's where they are really strong. And that's where you have the marriage of lot, pallet, bin, item attributes that I don't know if I have seen as detailed piece of functionality anywhere with any other, you know, WMS systems. Obviously, the enterprise systems are going to have this, I guess. But the smaller systems, I don't think they will have these feature sets. And these industries are very unique. So obviously, if you are in these industries, MOV3 is definitely going to be a solution that you should include in your evaluation. So this is where they have used the term, Andy. They are saying attribute-based slotting. And Anders was referring to this, right? So this is not just at the lot level. This is not at the item level. This is really at the attribute level. And when you are going to be in these industries, food, chemicals, pharma, this is going to be your bread and butter. So you definitely need this. Temperature requirements, etc. This is coming from CPG. CPG definitely has these requirements. And that's why they are going to be really strong in CPG, regulated CPG industries. So this is where their presence is coming from. Obviously, their sales pitch is always going to say, hey, I integrate with every single ERP system. But if you read between the lines, I guess, then you are going to get the real commentary. This is coming from their FAQ. They are saying can integrate with MOV3 via simple flat file exchange. And in my mind, that's not really an integration, to be completely honest. Okay, that is probably going to be the easiest integration that anybody can do.
Yeah, yes, they're just talking about an export, right?
It's not just the export, I guess. So traditionally, Andy, I think the WMS ERP integration, the way they have done it, it's done by the flat file. So just to be fair with them, I guess, you know, that's how most WMS ERP systems would approach it. Okay, and the reason for that is because warehouse need to move fast. They are simply recording the transactions. And then finally, at the end of the day, they are pushing these records to your ERP from the accounting perspective, right? That's how your POS architecture also worked. But nowadays, I mean, you have the live connection, you know, or near real time connection, I guess, you know, a lot of ERP systems can support. Now, there are always going to be pros and cons of that in terms of what you want to do when you are going to be in CPG high volume space. Sometimes decoupling might make sense. But when you decouple, you are creating a lot more problems. Again, architecturally speaking, because you have to reconcile, your allocation is not going to be live, your inventory is not going to be live. So again, these are all design considerations. But these guys are saying they have the simple file integration. Again, that's the most basic form of integration when you look at warehouse management system. Current out-of-the-box integration list is continually growing and currently includes Sage 500. And the reason why they are in the Sage 500 space, again, Sage 500 was very discrete-centric system, but they were also very well penetrated into that process manufacturing space as well. Sage X3 is the same. They are in 4LN space as well, which is very interesting. My take on this would be that they would be more in M3 space based on where their positioning is, but seems like they are in 4LN space for some reason. Then they are on computer way food systems, which makes sense because their target vertical is really food, you know, regulated CPG, etc. And we have already, so this is the commentary related to the iPhone issue, I guess. So their claim is that the MOV3 management platform used for function like data analysis, order, and management and on-hand inventory reporting is browser-based and can run on a platform. The MOV3 app runs exclusively on iOS devices. We believe that iOS is the future of enterprise workplace. That is not true at all. iOS is unmatched when it comes to durability, security, cost, reliability, and user experience. Don't believe us. I have got exactly. This is a pure sales pitch. Okay. Please stop. Okay. This makes no sense whatsoever. You know, yes, you have built on top of iOS. iOS, great. I'm not questioning that, but iOS is not the only platform that is going to be there. So again, read between the lines is a sales pitch just because they don't have the native interface for Android. If you care for both, then this might not be the solution for you. But if you can replace all of your devices to iOS, and if you are okay with that, it's not a very hard lift in general. Okay, so now they are saying, is MOV3 WMS a cloud solution? Yes, in fact, MOV3 is recognized by Gartner as one of the two true cloud-only enterprise class WMS solutions available on the market. MOV3 is delivered through Microsoft Azure, which is true. They are definitely recognized by Gartner, which is definitely impressive. They are a very small solution, but Gartner is recognizing them. And the cloud native claim is probably true as well. There are not very many solutions in the market that are really cloud native, to be completely honest. And so this could be true. I know only a couple.
One of them, right?
This is one of them, yes. I would say 60-ish% are going to be fairly legacy. They're really clunky.
Oh, well, they've been around. Most WMS have been around for decades.
Yeah. So here they have some more commentary. Tell me about your e-commerce shipping module. And again, you are going to sense a little bit of sales pitch here just because, you know, the other solutions are going to have the WMS TMS integration. These guys don't have that. So whether shipping direct to consumer or via full truck loads, MOV3's Launch Station module can help automate your entire fulfillment process. Launch Station comes with a standard label generation integration and can easily integrate with all your other shipping technologies. What that means is they don't have shipping platform. they don't have TMS. They have label generation, which is probably part of your WMS anyways. Most WMS systems are going to have that. So a little bit of sales pitch just because they don't have that. Yeah, you'll be using another shipping solution in this category. I guess you're probably going to be using ShipStation. I don't know, maybe PSJet, but PSJet is now with 3G TMS. So I don't know if they are going to be cool with this, I guess. Maybe they are. But those are some of the solutions that you might be using alongside this one. Now, let's look at their pricing. Mm. And pricing is very interesting as well. So they are selling at $250 per user per month, which in my mind is kind of expensive, but they are doing it for concurrent users. So some of the translations, at least in my experience, the way to work out this translation is going to be the warehouse concurrent users are going to be slightly different because typically they are working in shift. So, you know, if you have three shifts, you could easily divide this by three because they are not going to be overlapping at the same time for the most part. So your pricing could be that 250 divided by 3, which is going to be $83 if you are running 24/7 operations. In general, if you are sharing these shifts, then if you want this to be seamless without impacting anybody's workflows, because warehouses are all about efficiency, the right calculation would be 250 divided by 1.3, which is going to be roughly 192 for the named users. If you are comparing this with your named user pricing. So some rough guideline, I guess, in terms of how to compare this. But they are saying, you know what? I will give you unlimited named users. Move3 WMS runs on a concurrent user model. No additional cost for multi-sites, which is very interesting because a lot of warehouse management systems are probably going to charge that. Then they have complete platform access to all Move3 WMS premium features. So they are giving all of them. Sometimes when you are giving all of those features, depending upon how the user licensing is, you know, if the licensing is going to be limited and most of the users, let's say, use just two features, sometimes that licensing could be cheaper as well. So in this case, yes, they are providing all of them, but maybe I don't know if all of the users are going to need that. So again, you need to do your numbers and figure out, okay, which one is going to be the cheaper for you. So just read between the lines, I guess. You know, this is really a sales pitch. It's not a real benefit, I guess, for you. Flex your user count up and then back down to account for seasonality. Yes, you can do that. But again, you have limited bandwidth available based on the number of seats that you are purchasing. So even though they are including the unlimited named users, but you still have the constraint of your concurrent users. So again, it's not supposed to be your unlimited bandwidth, I guess, the way they have worded it. So again, read between the lines. Unlimited data usage, which is very interesting because not a lot of companies are doing that. They are doing it. Companies with 100 plus WMS users can benefit from our enterprise pricing. So as you can see, I guess they are probably playing in that lower than 100 sort of a space, 100 users in the warehouse, which is probably a small warehouse. Any comments, Andy?
No.
Okay. All right. So this is the interface. Obviously, it is going to be very slick because obviously iOS, we all know this. This is going to be really cloud native and super, super, super slick. But overall, if you look at the user interface, it's very similar to any other WMS platforms that we have seen so far, especially the simpler ones. You have the item ID, you have the warehouse ID, item description, reference, ref code. Then you have on-hand quantity. Yeah. It's very, very, very lean in general, the way this is structured, but it's clean as well. So, you know, again, very, very, very similar functionality, especially in the smaller warehouse management category.
And besides, clean and lean rhyme, so that goes really well together.
Exactly. Good joke, Andy. Good joke.
I like it. For a sales pitch, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, I completely agree. All right. So 2022, this is a review. So here they are saying most powerful and robust warehouse management system are used in last 3 years. This make you more free because you can use the system on your mobile phone from anywhere. Now, you need to read between the lines because for the most part, I think you are going to have the rugged sort of devices inside your warehouse. If you're simply using your own mobile phone,
you're not going to get the efficiency. So you definitely need to have the real iOS devices, that are designed for warehouse. If you're looking for the efficiency inside warehouse, mobile phone, they are not going to work. So even though this is a benefit, it's not really a benefit. They are saying no need to pay extra additional cost for multi-sites, which is probably a benefit. Okay, and they have compared this with Aptine, which is very, very, very strong in that food DTC-centric space. So that's why they have compared Advance Pro, they had compared with it as well. One more review. This is coming from 5 years ago. IT director, 51 to 200 employees, which is probably the right segment for them. They are saying, I have been an EVS customer since June of 2012. Long time. I was initially using their O2 mobile product, but have migrated over to Move3 product. Okay. So a lot of experience here. Then they are saying they were the hands down the best company with the best WMS solution for Sage 500. For our environment. They were known in the Sage 500 space. That's what the user is trying to claim, which is probably true as well. So now, if you are on Sage 500, I don't see a reason why you should be on that right now, because it's probably a dying ecosystem. But if you are still on that, then this could be a great solution. Now they are saying, so this used to work for all of these scanners, Zebra, Motorola, etc. All commercial WMS hardware scanners tend to be way overpriced. Move3 allows us to operate with iOS devices that utilize web services to so keep the client footprint down to a minimum. Now, I don't really agree with that, to be completely honest. If you are going to use your own mobile devices, I don't know how much efficiency you are going to get. Okay, and these scanners, I mean, they are definitely worth it and they are not very expensive. So I just don't see a reason why you would not replace when you are paying so much for the WMS system. So get a real scanner if you want the real efficiency. So I don't know if I agree with this comment. Now they have some more comments here. Distribution center lead person in the US. This is a warehousing company, 200 to 500 employees, which might be a little bit of stretch for them, I guess, based on their target market segment. It is coming from 4 years ago. The light green lettering on some screens can be a little difficult to see at times, and I completely agree with that. Their branding, I think they have a contrast issue there. That could be hard for people like me who cannot see very well, I guess. Then I would also like to be able to access multiple screens of the software on the iPhone, iPad, like you can on a desktop or laptop computer. Now, when you are looking at the warehouse management system screen, that's a horrible idea. Okay, please don't ask for that. Okay, because the interface is so small, and if you are going to have multiple tabs there, I don't know how you are going to use that software, to be completely honest. So this is not really on Move3. This is on the user. You know, the user does not know what they are doing, I guess. Please don't ask for tabs. Please don't have any tabs inside your WMS system. You don't have enough space there for that. A built-in calculator would be helpful in the software. Seriously? On a warehouse screen? Are you kidding? That's crazy. Okay, please don't do that. Okay, so that's pretty much it, Andy. I think, now we can open up for the comments.
I think that would really, what I find interesting, $250 per user per month sounds a little pricey. You know, when you first mentioned that it's got relationships with Infor, it was raising my eyebrows, but it doesn't seem to be very sophisticated for its price.
Yeah. This is definitely more of the beginner WMS system. That's my understanding.
Beginners want to pay $250 per seat, though?
Concurrent, though.
It's concurrent. Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know. How would you calculate, Andy, in your experience? Is it going to be the, are you going to divide it by 1.3 or 3? In the case of warehouse, you can probably divide with 3 if you have.
Yeah, it depends how many. It's mostly how many shifts you have.
Yeah. For warehouse, you can probably do divide by 3, I guess. So $90 per user, just still expensive for a warehouse management.
It's not cheap. Yeah.
Okay, so we have one comment from the audience. We'll touch on that, and Andy, then we can take more comments from you, I guess. So again, coming from Anders, he's saying re-mobile use. Fortunately, there is a large ecosystem of rugged cases and mounts for iPads. That is right. I expect you could mount them in forklifts. Warehouse Wi-Fi coverage obviously becomes important. Yes, there is, but Again, I don't know how convenient that is going to be. I have seen them being used. So obviously, that's a huge plus for them. But again, I mean, I don't know if that is going to be a factor, I guess. So that would be my comment. Andy, more comments from you?
Well, again, it seems pricey. I mean, how do you have any indication of how successful this product's been?
No, the product is definitely successful, Andy. You know, I have seen them in a lot of different ecosystems. They are well recognized. Yeah. So, and most likely because of the interface, I guess they could be pricey because most of the other solutions in this space are going to be fairly clunky.
Yeah, they are.
And yeah, and I don't know. I mean, see, they are doing well in the 500 and Sage X3 space. I don't know how common. But Sage X3 is going to have sizable accounts.
They usually are larger accounts, yeah.
500 is going to be sizable account as well. And if they, and my suspicion is going to be that the only reason why those companies are using this product is because of their process manufacturing capabilities. Because a lot of other WMS systems, they are not probably going to have this.
I would agree. You know, X3 obviously is a mainstream product from the process industry, but Sage 500, I didn't even realize it was still sold.
I don't know if they are selling. I mean, you know, you never know.
There's lots of companies that use it still.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Yeah, it's hard to kill such a successful product, I guess, Andy.
Yeah, it's a successful product is a relative term, but yeah, I agree.
Yeah. More comments, Andy, before we close?
No, that's all.
Okay. All right, guys. So that's a wrap. If you joined for the first time, this was part of our industry series for which we meet every Tuesday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern. So make sure you guys are going to be here next week. We are going to come back with another vendor or the solution. On that note, thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in tonight. I cannot thank our guests enough for coming on the show, for sharing their knowledge and journey. I always pick up learnings from our guests, and hopefully you learned something new today. If you want to learn more about Dave Chrysler, head over to thechrysler.club, chrysler.club. If you want to learn more about Andy Pratico, head over to esoft.com. It's esoft.com. Links and more information will also be available in the show notes. Also, don't forget to subscribe and spread the word among folks with similar backgrounds. If you have any questions or comments about the show, please review and rate us on your favorite podcasting platform or DM me on any social channels. I'll try my best to respond personally and make sure you get help. Thank you, and I hope to get you on the next episode of the WBS Podcast.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the WBS Podcast. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform so you never miss an episode. For more information on growth strategies for SMBs using ERP and digital transformation, check out our community at wbs.rocks. We'll see you next time.